Throughout time, God has always reserved for himself a remnant, a people fully sold out to his message and willing to pay the price of radical discipleship. While the church and the world lie in crises, a message is sounding once again throughout the corridors of time that God can alter the course of history through a radical few. Consider Moses, the Apostle Paul, Daniel, Noah, Abraham, and Peter, just to name a few sold-out radicals to God's calling. Don't settle for the confines of the ordinary when the Father has set his love on you to be extraordinary. Rise up out of the ashes of loss and disappointment and take hold of the one who makes all things new. Join us on an adventure of faith to experience Christianity the way it is supposed to be. Radical, the Radical Rising Remnant. The latest book from Kathy Bixel. Get your copy now at kathybixel.com.
Recently, I sat down with my friend and minister of the gospel, Kathy Bixel. We discussed a book she wrote almost 10 years ago titled The Radical Rising Remnant. To her own admission, while Kathy did not realize this at the time of the book's publishing, the rising of the radical remnant from today's church is now on the scene. And as the Lord so often does, just in time. America and the world are now experiencing the consequences of abandoning God. Today's remnant is dedicated to the radical life of devotion and discipleship that will manifest passion for the Lord. They are willing to step out of their cultural norms and be radical lovers of Jesus. During a culture that is anti-Christ in its ideology and philosophy, the message of this book is God does not need a crowd. Jesus turned the world upside down with just 12 men. God has a calling for you to expand his kingdom. Will you say yes to him? Please join us now as we welcome Kathy Bixel. Hello, everybody. My name is Mark. You're watching and or listening to the Russick Outlook. As always, thank you so much for joining. Very excited about today's presentation. We've embarked on a new journey where I am interviewing and discussing the topics of the day as it relates to the body of Christ, conversing with ministers of the body, but also people outside, whether it be in business or in politics or in tech and arts and entertainment, because everybody, now I'm going to do this again.
It's okay.
Take two. Hello, everybody. My name is Mark. You're watching and or listening to the Russick Outlook. As always, thank you so much for joining. Today's topic is the Radical Rising Remnant. This is part of a new series that we've embarked upon. Did I call that right? Oh, okay. I thought you looked like...
Did I call that right?
All right, one more time. Rethink. Take three. Hello, everybody. My name is Mark. You're watching and or listening to the Russick Outlook. As always, let me begin with a hearty thank you for joining. Today's topic is the Radical Rising Remnant. This is part of a new series that we've embarked upon where I am going to be interviewing and discussing topics of the day as it relates to the body of Christ. Today we have Kathy Bixel, who's a minister of the body, but we'll also be engaging with people in other areas, whether it's science or high tech or business, politics, arts and entertainment, whatever. As long as it's centered and focused around the body of Christ, that's really what we're doing. And the outcome really is to help edify and build up and offer different perspectives. So when I talk about the Radical Rising Remnant, that title did not come from me. It's actually the title of a book that Kathy wrote some time ago. But before I do, I'd like to introduce you to my good long-time friend, Kathy Bixel. Kathy is an apostle, prayer leader, speaker, and revivalist with more than 30 years of ministry experience. She graduated from Rhema Bible Training Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma. She is also the former apostolic pastor of Hope for the Nations Worship Center, which she founded in 1998 as House of Hope Bible Church. In 2012, Kathy formed Kathy Bixel Ministries to cultivate honor, unity among leaders in the body of Christ, crossing denominational, cultural, and generational lines through events and Bible-based teaching. Through her ministry, she delights as the Lord activates, encourages, and releases believers into their spiritual gifts and personal destiny. And I can testify to the fact that you're in for an incredible afternoon, evening, wherever you are, morning, whatever you're watching or listening to this. So I'd like to welcome in Kathy Bixel. Kathy, good day.
Oh, thank you, Mark. It's great to be with you today. It truly is.
So we're talking about your book, The Radical Rising Remnant. And, you know, this is, the remnant is a word that I hear so much in the body today. So many people are referring to it. And I really, I think there's some misnomers about it. There's some false hopes, if you will. So can you define what you mean by what the Bible, how the Bible defines the remnant?
Yes, certainly, Mark. And once again, thank you so much for having me on. Actually, what is really interesting is that this book was written and released in 2013. It was the Lord really ministered to me at that time that it was going to be a book before its time. And I thought that, you know, I don't know if anyone likes to hear that their idea is that, you know, here I'm doing all this writing, want to get a message out to the world, and that they would read it then and assimilate it then. But the real impetus for writing the book was it was a prophetic message that the Lord gave me that there was going to be a remnant rising, that they would be a radical remnant of people within his church that would rise and be empowered to make great impact in the culture in the days ahead. But at the time, I didn't quite see in what context that would be in. I mean, this was in 2013. Things were a lot different than they are right now in the United States of America. So one of the things that is my bugaboo, bee in my bonnet, so to speak, is I think the church, we tend to use language a lot and as sound bites, and we have no idea what we're talking about. And so I felt because of that word remnant, that it communicates this idea of special people, the really holy people in the church, or your church, but not the people in the church down the street. And I started to hear the word remnant being used a little bit. And I really felt this desire to clarify exactly what it meant and unpack it so we all, anybody who read the vision, could run with it and understand the vision. What exactly is God saying? Is he just going to pick a couple of good people and you know, work wonders in the earth? So my whole goal was to make it to really make it scripture-based in its presentation so that we could see the remnant in the Word of God. And in fact, prior to coming on the broadcast today, that you were actually telling me some places where you yourself had seen the remnant in the Word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually, you know, there was, let me see if I can find which section it was, but off the top of my head, it's in here. I know we referenced Moses. And one of the things that stuck out to me was Noah.
Yes.
But also, you mentioned the Israelites in the desert.
Coming out of captivity from Babylon.
Right. And I personally, when I looked at that, I went, oh, yeah, you know, they were pioneers. They are, you know, they were forging the trail. They were hearing and following the voice of Holy Spirit. So that, you know, that was a case that you brought out in the book that I just hadn't thought of. And it made perfect sense.
Yes. Well, and that was my goal, was to, because the word remnant is used in the scripture. For purposes of clarity for everyone, and I just wanted to just to just read it because of this one section where I describe, when I speak of the remnant for my audience, I'm speaking of the overcoming awakened church. When we hear, so all through the book, all through this broadcast, that's how I want you to think about it. It's the overcoming awakened church. And when we, what is the first thing? Like when I first hear the word remnant, I automatically think of a remnant of carpeting. At times when I've decorated my house and the guy would say, well, I have some remnants that you can get at a lesser price. And there's always, so in contextually, I had this thing of this idea of the remnant being the leftovers. And, you know, what's left over, what's remaining after the good stuff. And that is just one. So I'm thinking, Lord, that can't just be with the remnant, like all these leftovers. Like, what are the leftovers? Meaning people that are failures or, you know, haven't prospered in their Christian walk or, but that's really not what it means. So to start, for purposes of those that have never heard the word, that the Hebrew word expresses the remnant. When the word remnant is used in the Old Testament, it has like four different Hebrew words for the word remnant. One is that which is left over, that which remains, the residue, one who escapes, a survivor, and my personal favorite, one who is loosed from bonds. So as we begin to unpack in the book, in the opening chapters, what is the remnants? I'm just going to read this one particular paragraph that that I think will help everyone. So let me just read one moment for you so you have an adequate description. So in order to avoid any confusion and to assure you that the message is aligned biblically, when I speak of a remnant, I am referring to those in our day who are the overcoming awakened church. When I use the term church, I speak of those who have been called out from the world to live as God's people under the authority of Jesus Christ. They are the ones, and here it is, Mark, who the remnant are. They are the ones who, after every challenging trial, disappointing outcome, and fierce spiritual battle, remain standing. They are the ones who have had every justifiable reason to put up the proverbial white flag, but they continue to persevere. Despite the enemy's ferocious onslaught, they are the survivors. They are no longer the leftovers. They are taking over. And so what that means to me is that the remnant, much like those coming out of the Babylonian captivity, they had experienced the consequences of their estrangement from God. They had a covenant with Yahweh, but they persisted in going their own way and bore the consequences of that. And I think on some level, we're experiencing that in America. We are experiencing the consequences of our abandoning God as the foremost influencer in our culture. And so, you know, in light of that, the remnant is those people that have a radical heart of devotion, that are going to have a radical life of devotion, a radical life of discipleship, that are going to manifest passion for the Lord, and they are going to be willing to step out of the cultural norms and be radical lovers of Jesus. And when I say radical, I'm not talking about politically violent. radicalism. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That is not the biblical understanding of radical. It was the work of John the Baptist that said, the word radical means to get to the roots. John the Baptist said, I am coming to get to the root. And so our issue is having an understanding of the role that we play in bringing his kingdom in our day and what it's going to take to do that in the midst of a culture that is antichrist in its ideology and its philosophy.
That's so rich. And, you know, when you talk about, and I'm glad you mentioned the radical as many would express it today, but really, if you're talking about the root, I think the ultimate radical or example to me is Jesus himself. When
yes.
Jesus said, I did not come to abandon the law, but I came to fulfill the law.
Yes.
So he is the root of what we're talking about. And he certainly, you know, he turned things upside down and he suffered persecution and he suffered what I would, you know, imagine to be dejection or even the news about Lazarus, I mean, that had to, on an emotional level,
yes.
you know, impact him. And, you know, and the things that the apostles and the disciples and the friends of Jesus of that day, and I guess really, you know, that's what we're talking about. People who have gone through some experiences, whether it's in church, outside of church, you know, we've all gone through it, but yet we're going to stand upon the rock of Jesus Christ and we're going to fulfill the mark of his high calling.
Yes.
And how are we going to do that?
Yes. And I think the real message of the book is that God doesn't need a crowd. And somehow in the church, we've gotten this understanding that it's the big things that God wants. It's the big churches. And not that there's anything wrong with that. We want to see a lot of people, you know, discipled
sure.
and come to Christ. That's not what this is about. But the idea becomes that because we're outnumbered in the culture in terms of influence and our voice more now than ever. Okay.
Yep.
You know, I there's our country, but I just was reading last week where a Christian leader in England was arrested because he said pride was a sin. He just mm-hmm. said the words pride was a sin.
Yep.
So these are extreme, right? So we have to be extreme in the sense of our belief system in what we believe that in our devotion and our acceptance of what God says is right for us and for our world. That's his righteousness. So God doesn't need a crowd. Jesus took 12 men and turned the world upside down. Noah, there was the flood and Noah was left and his family. And out of those, he recovenanted with that remaining person and his family and began all over again. And you speak as well of, you spoke as well of the Israelites coming out of captivity. They came out, they were planted, everything was desolate and destroyed. Everything they knew about their life before going into Babylon was gone. The temple was demolished and they had to rally themselves and say, we might be a remnant, but God is giving right out of Ezra. God
yep.
is giving us a space of grace to rebuild. And if that, just as God, it says in Isaiah, called Abraham as one, and out of that one, there was many. It speaks to how important everyone's life is. It doesn't matter if you're a homeschooling mother. It doesn't matter if you're a nurse at a local hospital. God has a calling on your life, and you can be an influencer. You can change the world. You can expand his kingdom. You can heal the sick, raise the dead. You can preach the gospel. And in fact, your fiery life of passion to Jesus, that light is what is going to draw people to you in this very hard season in our world.
So true. So, you know, it made me think of many years ago, I was in a hospital with a friend and took this person to the emergency room. And while we were waiting and there was a number of people there, and I was praying with this person. And a nun came up to me and she said, "Are you a minister?" And I said, "No." She said, "Well, I'd like you to pray with somebody over here." And I said, "Okay." And then somebody else tapped me and said, "Can you pray for me?" So, you know, I'm just, you know, the average Joe walking in, but I'm walking in with Holy Spirit.
Yes, Mark.
So, you know,
right,
game changes.
Right.
You know, so
yes,
we can't look to ourselves. We have to look to who comes with us. And, you know, to your point that we come with not only Holy Spirit, but we come with the contagious power of Holy Spirit.
Yes. Ooh, I love that.
And so you know, that's it just reminded me of that and the power that brings. And, you know, discipleship and how important that is. Can you expand a little bit upon that?
Yeah, because I think it speaks to what you just said, that we can understand that we're a remnant, okay. Where there's not many of us in a culture where everything seems like it has a louder voice than ours or more influence than ours. But if we just sit back and lay there and, you know, mourn over our losses or whatever we've experienced, or we just want to be pampered by our pastors, then we are never going to grow and rise up to be the people that God, we are an army of God. We are sons and daughters of God. So that is why it's the rising, you know, the rising radical remnant that God is raising up a group of people in this hour, but you had to have something within you that you rose up and you went to that hospital and said, "I might not have a collar on, but I'm going to pray for the sick." And I think it all begins with, we have to grow up, and how we grow up is we get the right nourishment, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How, right? We have to be strong to rise up. And Jesus was completely focused on strengthening and empower his disciples to do more than him when he was going to be gone. So he didn't want 12 spiritual wimps. He wanted, yep. Jesus laid the axe at the root, and the place that I see that so predominantly showcased to us is in John chapter 6, where I don't know if you're familiar with the scripture, but Jesus has, I believe, 500 people there listening to him preach.
Mm-hmm.
And he preaches the message. They're recorded in John chapter 6. And he says that you are going to have to drink my blood and eat my flesh. That's what you're going to have to do to follow me. Now, what is significant about that is that to the average person, that might seem like that's pretty grotesque. What was he talking about? Well, what most of us don't know the background of that is that in the pagan temples at the time, in their culture, when they went to worship the other gods, they would cut themselves, they would do all of this stuff, and they would actually drink the blood of each other and mm-hmm. make sacrifices and drink the blood and eat the flesh of the sacrifice, because they thought when they did that, they became one with the God that they were worshiping, the deity that they were worshiping in their pagan temple. And so Jesus is drawing upon their cultural context and saying, it's going to have to be that kind of radical devotion. You're going to have to be so committed to me and so devoted to me, that's the kind of life you're going to have to be willing to live. It's all or nothing. And the scripture says, upon hearing that message, well, the first thing, they were wondering what he was talking about, thinking he's talking about cannibalism, but they did know what he was talking about. And they weren't quite sure, is he really the Son of God? Do I want to be that kind of a disciple? Out of 500, 12 were left.
There you go.
So we think in our American churches that we're, it's all about, as I have a very good ministry friend of mine for years, we call it the nickels and the noses. As long as we have all the people in there with their checkbooks to pay to keep our churches operational and our ministries functioning, we have to preach what they want to hear. So there's churches that are filled with certain celebrities that pastors think that they can't talk about certain things because they're offended. We, right now in America, there's a lot of things that pastors feel intimidated that they can't address from the pulpit for fear that their people will leave. And what I am saying is that those messages are exactly what we need to grow. There needs to be the plumb line, because as we walk in God's holiness and his righteousness, we are empowered in this, we are empowered in this season. We, as we walk in humility, yes, we preach the truth in love, but we cannot move off of the truth. And Jesus was saying, because I remember early on in the seeker sensitive movement, back, which was the big thing in the late 80s, and many churches and the stream that you and I are familiar with embraced it. And mm-hmm. I remember I was doing revival meetings at the time. I was itinerating a lot in a lot of the local churches in the New York area, New Jersey, Connecticut, Pennsylvania. And I remember going to one church, and the pastor did an entire message about how comfortable God wants you when you're in church. It's all, you need to be comfortable. We don't want anybody to be offended. Jesus wants you to be comfortable. John chapter 6, the last thing Jesus was concerned was about them being comfortable. He Yep. was concerned about them being in the kingdom as sons and daughters of God and walking in kingdom power. He wanted them to be able to stand in the evil day. And when we compromise on these things, the truth is, Mark, and as much as we don't like to talk about it, although now in America we're having to talk about it, is the demonic realm. Yep. That we open the door when we engage in these sinful practices and lifestyles that God speaks about in his word as not healthy for us, not because he doesn't. People think God puts even the law, they think everything that God told them not to do. I know many in this generation, a lot of the young people, well, you know, you can't have any fun, or God's against us, or no, because the Bible teaches us a spiritual worldview, and a spiritual worldview is not a secular worldview. It embraces the idea that we are in a spiritual world with good and evil components, spirit beings in that world. And just by saying that, I can feel the resistance of someone saying, that's weird, but that's the whole Bible. Is expressing and teaching on how to live out of the good spirit realm in the world that we're living in. And when we engage in these practices, it's not because God doesn't want us to have fun. He was telling the Israelites, you don't want to intermarry with them because you will then be under the influence of the demons associated with their gods. He wanted them to prosper, have a life and a land filled with milk and honey. He wanted to grow their crops, give them fruitful wombs and healthy big families. But they decided that was too much for them to do. They'd rather get a quick fix at the temple of Baal. And before you know it, they were demonized.
Yep.
And that's what's pretty much happened to America now. And a lot of Christians are demonized.
I agree with you. You know, lately I've been reading a lot in the Old Testament. I've been going through 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. And I'm just astonished at what I read there from thousands of years ago. I see in America, and I'm sure, you know, many parts of the West today, how we've, you know, God had the Lord has laid out his plans for us and instructions, but we've deviated so much. We've listened to, and you know, people may not like to hear this, but there is a demonic influence in our cultures today, and we see it. But, you know, I'm thinking about this past year And what I see is a remnant in moving in the area of arts and media. So when I think of the films that have been coming out this year, when I see some of the things we're talking about, what's the movie Sound of Freedom?
Sound of Freedom.
That's out right now, and you know, Angel Studios and what they did with The Chosen, and I'm trying to remember the Jesus Revolution.
Yes.
Good quality.
There's a remnant rising up.
Exactly. That's exactly. And they're taking a stand. Whereas years ago, if you were to watch a Christian movie, I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't even say they were B-level.
You
know? They were horrible. But, you know, here they're good quality, but the message is right. They're taking a stand. They're engaging the culture. They're engaging, you know, what needs to be done. And I applaud it. I'm excited. I'm moved by what I see. I just saw a movie the other night that came out a few months ago. I don't know if you're familiar with Nefarious. And it's a different take on it, but it's a Christian backing. But it's about a demon that has influence, and it's this demon speaking to a psychiatrist through the most part of it, but he's laying out what their objective is, that there's an agenda that's coming against the body of Christ, and that we need to be alert to the strategies that we're engaged in. If somebody goes into battle, if a military commander goes into battle, he wants to know the strategies or understand the strategies of the enemy so mm-hmm. that they can be successful. And it's the same to me that, you know, we have the captain, you know, giving us the instruction through Holy Spirit. And not only that, he calls us ambassadors for Christ. That means we can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and bring that here.
Yes. And I think it's all about the glory. Our hope as Christians is out of Romans to experience the glory. The Lord wants to showcase his church. Ephesians 3:10, the mystery hidden from the foundation of the world was his church. The hidden wisdom of God was to display. There's one translation of one of the verses in Ephesians that I meditate on. I've meditated on for over a year or so. That is that we are a visible demonstration and expression of the loving kindness and the glory of God. And so my book really focuses on giving you powerful keys to how to rise up and what to rise up into. I have a chapter on rising up in love, rising up as royal sons and daughters, knowing that we are royalty in the earth. We are kings and priests unto our God, rising up in righteousness, rising up. We have to rise up in this hour in relentless, resilient, risk-taking faith. And we have to mostly rise up and roar. You know, I was thinking of your example of the Sound of Freedom and how that producer, what he endured with having gone first to Disney. They wanted him, I was listening to pieces of an interview with him yesterday, and they wanted him to pay for certain fees and all these things, but 5 years and one man's vision, or even honestly, Mark, the one federal marshal who refused, who got a vision of his part that he could play. How could he say he loved God and not want to do something? That is a radical believer. Not want to do something to rescue those children. So for those listening, their calling may not be to help with sex trafficking or to do that, but maybe there's another real emerging area of influence that we're seeing the church is now awake, because we were asleep for a long time, is education. All through the 80s, you know, the Bible, it talks about how what happened with the children of Israel is they got fat and prosperous. You know, they just got way too comfortable. And I think during the tech boom in the 80s and the 90s, we just got, you know, we were just sending our kids off to school and enjoying all our McMansions and our, you know, nothing's wrong with prosperity. But what I'm saying is we weren't engaged. And it wasn't until, you know, until COVID that parents began to go, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's in the library at the school. That's what's in the curriculum. You have to be kidding me. This week alone in Congress, and I'm not saying this should have been done, but this speaks to how we've lost our sense of just common sense. This week, a full-blown picture was put up in Congress of the president's son engaging in horrible whatever. And everybody was flabbergasted that this congresswoman, and I'm not saying she should have done it. I'm just saying their reaction was, that is awful. Put that down. We shouldn't have to look at that. But yet it's okay for that exact scene depicted on that picture put up in Congress to be in textbooks our children in elementary school have access to and are being told by the former president of the United States those books should be in the libraries. Now, I mean, if it's bad for Congress to look at and too perverted for them to look at, it's okay for our kids, and something's wrong for us as parents to say, if you want to take an 18-year-old or a 17-year-old in high school and you want to do whatever you're going to do there, but you're talking about young children.
Yeah.
So this is the kind of area where we can have, we have to be awake, and we've been asleep.
Absolutely. You know, I think about, and it breaks my heart with what has happened to the children. And you know, let's face it, you know, you can go, you talked about bail before and how they sacrificed the children. And, you know, I personally, you know, my opinion that we've done this in America through abortion. And how even New York City, there was part of the Pride Month where they were doing a party and they were saying, chanting, we're coming for your children. Right. We're coming for your children. So for us as a body of Christ not to take a stand and want to protect their children, you know, you and I were in a service a couple of weeks ago, and I remember this woman talk about what she called the mama bear anointing.
Yes, Patricia King, yes.
You know, where, you know, a mother will want to take that authority and protect the children. And, I would say the same for the church, that we would want to have that same passion. And I believe, you know, we've compromised. We've been intimidated by the culture, by, you know, what we see in the airwaves. And I think a lot of it started with COVID. And it's just, to me, it's just been amplified. It's growing and it's growing. And I think your book is so timely and so important and so relevant for today more than ever.
Right. I agree. Yes. And Mark, I want to pivot off this term of militancy, or, you know, one of the things about the remnant is what we are. We are people don't like a lot of times. And I've heard it said I've heard a very popular female speaker say there is nowhere in the Bible where there's the army of God. Well, there is also nowhere in the Bible where we see the word Trinity. But do we know that the Bible teaches and demonstrates the Godhead is three in one? But we use the word Trinity. So there are militaristic metaphors all through the New Testament. We have Paul putting on the armor of God. He uses, we fight the good fight of faith. I'm not saying we build a whole doctrine and strong emphasis on something, but we are the army of God. We are the bride of Christ, as many people have said, with army boots on. But our militancy is a militant love. It's because we love our God, we love our children, and we love people, and we don't want to see them have to suffer under these under ideologies or philosophies or practices that are ultimately going to harm them. So how we express it, and I think sometimes the church, I'm not always in agreement with how things are expressed, because the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. The Apostle James said, the wrath of man does not work his righteousness, but there is a holy anger. God created us with the same emotions he has, and we know that he has anger, but it's sanctified. So it's how we direct that. So what that means is we go and we speak up. I saw a video this week of a homeless woman in California who went to a Board of Education meeting, and she is homeless, her daughter's homeless, and she stood up for righteousness that she wants in her child's classroom. And she didn't have to do it in a mean way. She just spoke up and let her voice be heard. And that's that cry for justice. And so my final chapter in the book is that the rising radical remnant needs to roar. We need to have our voices heard. And I think it's very interesting that prophetically this decade is in the Hebrew, prophetically, this decade is about the mouth. And from the beginning of from 2020, what happened to the church? The effort to silence the church. But the good news is that we are rising up in love and perseverance, and we are not looking at we may look outnumbered, and sometimes our little voices feel like they're just getting out through some little outlets that you wonder if anybody is listening to. But we're finding out now that a lot of people are waking up and realizing we're not even operating in any kind of even natural common sense or wisdom.
Right. And when you say that about the mouth, and what I thought of in the beginning is the symbol that I got was we all had the masks on.
Well,
I personally thought, that is a sign in and of itself. There's so many good things that you have in this book. What would you leave the audience with? In other words, How can they, what would be their next steps? If you've motivated somebody here today, if you've influenced them, what would you say that, might be their next steps? How can they get involved within their sphere of influence?
Well, I think if I would say, since it's a question and I'm on the spot, so I have to dig deep and I've got to know what I'm going to say, have to make my assistant start getting on her knees and praying. I always look at listen to these type of questions as if I was going to go home with Jesus tomorrow, what would I say? And I just remember and I referenced this in the book, and I encourage people to get it because I've had people tell me this is a textbook, like for a Bible school, because to really understand what I would call remnant theology. But one of the first books, when I was born again, Mark, and I got saved in 1979, and I was an 18-year-old teenager, and I got born again through Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and my first encounter with the Holy Spirit and mass gatherings of Christians was Mario Murillo out in the woods at Jesus 79 with him and all the Iverna Tompkins. So the messages that I heard, I cut my teeth on, were not these mamby-pamby, wimpy messages. It was about living for Jesus is a decision that you turn your back on the world's ways of doing things. And that means coming out of the world and the way the world thinks, what the world does. So little by little in my relationship with the Lord began to peel away those things that I did, where I went to the bar every week. I didn't go to the bar anymore. I didn't go get drunk on the weekends. It wasn't that someone told me, thou shalt not drink. I would go to the bar the week after I was saved. It was like, whoa, there's something, you know, something going on here. I don't like the way I feel. And then I would read the book of Revelations that drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, they, when you're, I had to be sober, you know, to walk soberly with the Lord, and little, and I just like lost all desire. It was like, as I, every one step I took toward Jesus, it was like he took 20 towards me, and the Holy Ghost just consumed me. And so, and I remember as a senior, and there's somewhere I'm going with this. I remember as a senior in high school, the guy who led me to the Lord being on the senior class trip bus trip where everybody was going to get bombed. That was the whole, you know, the whole point of the trip was your last fun time in your senior year. And I was homecoming queen and president of student council. So I was the most important person that had to party. And they're like, all the people are on the bus going, what happened to her? And now she's like him. He was the, Scott was the quarterback of the football team. And they all started singing on the bus the Doobie Brothers song to mock me. Jesus is just all right with me. And like, you know, pretty much saying I was a Jesus freak. And I remember at that moment thinking, this is going to cost me something. Mm-hmm. And if I accept that instead of fight that, do I want their approval? Or do I want God's? When his salvation and his freedom touched my heart and the deliverance that happened in me, there was no way I was going to choose my high school friends who I probably wouldn't see for the next, you know, for the next 20 years. I was going to decide my future based on them. And I think that's what happens. We're fearful of coworkers. We're fearful of family members. But if we take that step, that's the first step, Mark. And then get yourself, be willing. You know, I remember a message, I have it on video actually, that Robert Slaridan did years ago. Does your pastor carry a knife? In other words, is he going to give you a message that cuts your, that cuts through your mindsets and your heart every week and teaches you true devotion and walking with God so that there is the power associated with a holy walk. And I talk about that in the book, what true holiness is. It's exciting. What that word holy in the Hebrew is a word that describes what you do when company comes over and sets out the special china. Holy, when God calls you holy, Mark, it's because you are so special. You are holy. Mark's coming over for dinner. It's a special guest of honor. So as I'm holy, I don't do certain things because someone who's a good piece of china would never do something like that. Why would I curse someone out? Why would I use foul language? Why would I try to get revenge on someone? Why would I be filled with hate? To, because that, it's not, I'm a daughter of God. I'm royalty. That's not how I behave. We have to change our perspective, get in the Word of God, spend time with Jesus in the Word every day, pray, and be part of a community that you can say, I want to be like those people. I want to be fiery like they are, and find them because they're out there.
That's so good. It reminded me as we close, I thought of somebody years ago talking about tithing, and they said, think about tithing your time, meaning you start your day with the Lord. And
yes.
I don't always do it, but the days that I do where I get my coffee and I go on my patio and I open the Word of God and I spend that first, whether it's 10, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, my day is better. My day, unquestionably.
Yes. You know, scripture can set you for the day.
Absolutely. And that's something that's always stuck with me. So, you know, I'm so glad you said that. For those of you who are interested, and we'll get some information on the screen, but I'm going to put the book up Avoiding the Lights, The Radical Rising Remnant by Kathy Bixel. It is also available. You can get it through, and I'll give you the information of how to order it through Kathy, but also for you Kindle readers, and I happen to be one. It's now available. You can go to Amazon, and you can download that there and have it within seconds. So as soon as this broadcast is over, go and download it off of Amazon. So if they want to connect with you, Kathy, is there anything you'd like to point them to?
Sure. Well, the primary way to connect with us is through our website, kathybixel.com. And you can also buy the book there. That's where you buy the book. We haven't sold the hard copies on Amazon yet, but the hard copies you can buy through the ministry, mm-hmm. kathybixel.com. You buy it there. We'll get it shipped to you as soon as possible. As you said, Kindle, the Kindle one is available on Amazon. But go to kathybixel.com and make sure that you sign up on our listserv there. Give us your email address so that you can stay connected to everything going on with Kathy Bixel Ministries. We have a podcast, Beautiful Life podcast, that we've done for several years. We had a little bit of a hiatus during COVID because my husband and I had to move twice, and so we didn't have the place to do the recording. But now we're doing that again. And then also every Tuesday morning at 11 a.m., we have Heaven at 11, and we are empowering the church to learn of the secrets of the kingdom of God, the mysteries of the kingdom, so that we can walk in kingdom power, walk as God's children, and really understand how to walk in the glory of God. The glory is not spooky. It is a realm. It is a reality that is God's children. We have access through every single day through Jesus Christ as the door to heaven and all that heaven has for us here on earth, not just in eternity.
That's awesome.
And you can do that on Facebook and YouTube.
And also, you are on Instagram and Twitter, yes. So you can contact Kathy and please reach out there. I would say
Thank you, Mark.
On those same, Russic Outlook is also on those, many of those same platforms, and YouTube and Rumble. But this has just been a delight, Kathy. I want to thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
For your
it's always
dedication.
Great being with you.
I want to thank you for your ministry, for your dedication to the Lord, for the example, for the giftings that you bring. And I pray that the words that you spoke and the words that are written in this book will multiply exponentially, not only to individuals, but the blessings that will come upon them. So if you have any further questions or comments, please don't hesitate to reach out to russicoutlook@gmail.com. Happy to answer any questions, comments, suggestions. And please, you know, whatever the platforms you're watching or listening, you know, let us know you're there. If you have, whether it's a negative or a positive comment, they're all welcome. It's all good. subscribe to the channels for both Kathy and Russic Outlook. So again, I just want to thank you for your time. God bless you. Hope to see you soon. You've been listening to the Russic Outlook. And remember, as always, just my opinion.
Throughout time, God has always reserved for himself a remnant, a people fully sold out to his message and willing to pay the price of radical discipleship. While the church and the world lie in crises, a message is sounding once again throughout the corridors of time that God can alter the course of history through a radical few. Consider Moses, the Apostle Paul, Daniel, Noah, Abraham and Peter, just to name a few sold-out radicals to God's calling. Don't settle for the confines of the ordinary when the Father has set his love on you to be extraordinary. Rise up out of the ashes of loss and disappointment and take hold of the one who makes all things new. Join us on an adventure of faith to experience Christianity the way it is supposed to be. Radical. The Radical Rising Remnant. The latest book from Kathy Bixel. Get your copy now at kathybixel.com.